Good morning. I'll be reading this morning's scripture. It has changed. We'll be reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Please follow along. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Brother Dennis.
I apologize. Especially to Joel, he usually picks his songs out based on my lesson. For today, this morning as I was going over my notes, I realized that sermon I've already preached. And so this morning I decided, and real quickly I jotted down some notes based on a song that Vicki and I heard this past week while we were in Gatlinburg. A song that really hit home. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. I'm looking and searching for the greatest thing that will ever happen. The greatest thing that has happened. The greatest thing, period. I started looking through my Bible this morning. And I, as sense would come to me, I went to the first chapter of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It goes on through this chapter, listing God's creation, day one, the creation of day and night, the first day. The second day, God made the sky, separating the firmaments. On the third day, God separated the land and sea. The third day also, he made the grass and the trees. On the fourth day, God made the sun and the moon and the stars. On the fifth day, God made all the sea creatures and the birds of the air. And on the sixth day, God made all of the land creatures and man. He also, during this time, gave man in Genesis chapter 2 a helpmeet, a wife, a partner in this life. For Adam and Eve, this was the greatest thing. And it was truly a great thing. We can read in these very first two chapters of the history of the world, the greatest thing for two people. You see, only two people witnessed the beauty and the purity of God's creation. It was in Genesis chapter 3 we read of the downfall of man. And of course, the curse that God put on man. The curse that I put up with every spring of the year when I spray my front yard for the dandelion and the thistles. The curse that you and I must labor each and every day for our means. While the beginning was great, it was not the greatest. Now, some may argue with me on that point, but I think I make it pretty clear. When only two enjoy the purity, where is the greatest in it for the rest of us? I turn your attention to Matthew chapter 1. For generations, for 4,000 years, man has toiled on this earth. For 4,000 years, men have obeyed and resisted God. The culmination of coming into this part here is a promise that God made in Genesis chapter 3. In verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. And shall bring forth a son, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God be with us. And Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she brought forth the firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Think back for a moment, the greatest thing in your life. What would that be? For some, it might be the spouse we are sitting next to. For others, it might be the birth of our children. For others, it might have been the time when we were baptized into Christ and given a new life. You can imagine for Mary and Joseph, the greatest thing in their life was the birth of their son, Jesus. And it truly was a great thing. All great things have a beginning. But the greatest thing in this life, at least for Mary and Joseph, was only witnessed by a few people. And while there were men who came from far lands to worship the king, it was only a few. There were others that were sorely afraid. There were those who wanted to kill him. This was a great event in life, the great event in human history, the beginning of the greatest thing, but it was not the greatest thing. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus had separated himself with his disciples away from the multitudes. They were with themselves, and Jesus in verse 13, he had said to his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some says that you are John the Baptist. Some say that you are Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter, speaking up, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. For the disciples, this was a great event. For us Christians, it's also a great event. Many a preacher have used these verses in Matthew 16 to open the door, the church. A lot of confusion over the years. Peter being this rock, but no, Peter is not the rock that the church was built on. Two Greek words sound very much alike, but are totally different. Petros, Peter, small rock. Petras, aeus, foundational rock. The greatest had not yet happened, but it was coming. A church being built upon the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And while this was a great event in the eyes of the disciples, it was only 12 men. Because you see, down a little bit further, verse 20, Jesus charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus, the Christ. What could have been the greatest event was a whimper. Because only 12 men had received that word so far. So far. And Luke chapter 24. We read here the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Starting in verse 50. Prior to that, Jesus, it was discovered that his tomb was empty. And we can read here of those who had seen Jesus at this point. In verse 44 through 49, we read that all the scriptures have been fulfilled. Jesus there with his 11 men. In verse 50, he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. The sacrifice of our Lord and Savior. His ascension into heaven, just as he promised. That veil that separated in the temple the Holy of Holies was ripped asunder. Man now had the opportunity and direct access to God. Christ being now our high priest. And we might, in our hearts, think, that is the greatest thing that's ever happened to man. And it truly was. Because of that one act by our Son, our Lord and Savior, Son of Man, we have the hope of eternal life. And His ascension into heaven, witnessed by 11 men, was a great thing to behold. We can read the same thing in Acts chapter 1, in verses 9 and 10. And it was a great thing. But only 11 men saw it. Only 11. In Acts chapter 2, we read where the apostles had gathered together. Finally, Matthias was chosen to replace Judas. Their numbers back up the strength of 12 apostles. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and Peter addresses the crowd outside the temple the day of Pentecost. Over 1 million people flocked in from around the world to join the multitude of folks that were already in Jerusalem. And the apostles standing there on the steps started to preach Peter from the book of Joel. And the sermon was most powerful because it got men to sit there and think and to reflect and to cause them to say, "Men, brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter told them. And the Lord added to His church 3,000 souls that day. We use that a lot in our sermons, don't we? We use that a lot when we are trying to persuade men about the obedience. It was a great day for the church because Christ's words in Matthew 16 come to fruition. Now, I don't know how many of that crowd that were there of over 1 million people were actually standing there listening to Peter's sermon. We've all been in crowds before where somebody's speaking, and around the fringes and stuff you have milling around and moving around, and people are wanting to see this or do that, and they're caught up in conversations. Maybe that's why only 3,000 people were attuned to what was going on. But it was still only 3,000 people in one place. It was a great event. But it wasn't the greatest event. The establishment of the church in Acts chapter 2, we lead people to there so that we can understand and they can understand what the true church is. And all these things were great events, but it wasn't the greatest event. We've come down over 2,000 years since all of these things have occurred. And we look on all these things as we study our Bibles and we listen in our Bible classes that these all have to be the greatest events, but you can only have the one greatest event. These were all great events. Greatest event hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened yet. The promise is there, but the event has not taken place. Our scripture reading, which is the reason I changed our lesson, is this scripture reading right here, 1 Thessalonians 4. But I would have you not to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. The brethren here at Thessalonica were concerned because their brothers and sisters in Christ died before the promise of the coming of Jesus, and they were worried that their friends would not see it and they would be lost forever. Paul reassuring them, Paul through the Holy Spirit telling them, don't worry. Don't have sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall ever we be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's the greatest thing that will ever happen. One event in which, from the beginning of creation to the end of time, every man, woman, and child will experience this event. Even those who don't believe. Even those who have turned their back on God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1. Or 6 through 10. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from his glory of his power, and when he shall come with the glorified and the saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. The greatest event, the greatest thing that will ever happen, will be the day when our Lord and Savior returns. I say it is the greatest because, as I said, every human being that ever existed on the face of this earth will see it. Not 2, not 12, not 3,000, not 5,000, but billions and billions and billions. That is the greatest thing that will ever happen. If you are not a child of God, you are going to experience the greatest thing that will ever happen, but on the wrong side. You will be the recipient of God's vengeance. None of us want to go through that. I'm sure you do not either. If you are not a child of God, we want to get you on the right side. We want you to be out there every day looking forward to the return of our Lord and Savior, because you know exactly where your hope lies. You know exactly where you're headed. If you're not a child of God, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. The initial steps are pretty easy. Sometimes the decision is hard to make because it requires a tremendous sacrifice. You have to be willing and able and ready to give up the life you're now leading and to change it. to repent, to confess Jesus as the Son of God, and to be baptized for the remission of sins. Start a life today clean and whole and ready to go. And together as the family of God, as His children, together we will work with one another to get us all home. And when the greatest thing happens, we're ready. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you've turned your back. Maybe you've stepped away for a little while. I hope that maybe finally you might realize, I want to enjoy the greatest thing that will ever happen. So many times I hear today, I fear the last days are coming. Brethren, no fear there. Joy and happiness. I'm out there with my catcher's mitt. I want to catch that ball. And I hope you do too. If you need to make things right with God, I want you to really seriously think about that. If you need to do that personally with God, something that is private between you and Him, pray to Him and ask Him to forgive you, and He will. But if there's something you need done in a public way, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. If anyone has a need, regardless of what it is, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.